said, I am the vine. You are the branches. The image of Jesus as vine and ourselves as branches reminds us that salvation and wholeness, indeed all good things that we experience, that we produce, come not because of what we do, but because of what we are and where we are. I am not a gardener. The many skills God has blessed me with, the ability to kill any plant, is one of my formidable strengths. But I have friends that garden. One of them told me once about he was planting cucumbers, and cucumbers grow on the vine. He'd been very careful to select the very best seeds. He paid extra for them and planted each one at its proper depth. He fertilized and watered the plants. He worked the soil faithfully each week to keep back the weeds. And he sprayed to prevent bugs and blight from encroaching on the young plants. The season was a good one. Just the right amount of rain and sunshine. And on the vines appeared broad green leaves, and in due course, beautiful blooms. It looked magnificent. But one day he noticed that here and there, certain leaves were dying. Certain blooms were starting to fade. Most of the leaves remained that healthy, glossy green, but scattered among them, some were beginning to turn brown. Why, he wondered, would some of the vines die in the midst of all of this life? So he investigated, stepping carefully among the tangled mass of vines. He traced the ones on which the leaves and the blooms were dying until he found that they were all connected to a single stem. And there, just above the ground, the stem had been severed by cutworms. The entire vine above that point was dying because it was no longer attached to the roots and the stem that had produced it. When we are not connected to the vine, we die spiritually. We are incapable of producing fruit. When we are not attached to the vine, when we are not connected to the roots which nourish us. But when we are attached to that vine, the fruit that we produce, indeed the prosperity of the land itself, comes to us naturally as a gift from God. The gardener does the work, and the vine he plants carries the sap and all its nutrition to us. And we, because we are in the right place, prosper and produce for the world the fruit that it needs. The cup of water to those who thirst. The word of assurance to those in doubt. The comforting hug to those in pain. The gift to those who do not know if they are loved. The deed of kindness to the one who is in need. All these things are things that God wants us to do. They are part of what Jesus calls the fruit. They are also the evidence, the badge of the Christian life, proof that we are who we say we are. A friend of mine is a pastor, a downtown church here in Kansas City, down in the urban core. It's an old church, and they have a small parking lot. But during the week, a lot of times folks will try to park there to avoid the fees and all the pay lots. One day, my friend was pulling in the parking lot, and there is clearly a spot where he parks that has a sign that says, Minister. As he was pulling in, another lady whipped into the parking lot in front of him and parked in that spot. He politely rolled his window down and asked if she would move her car. She said to him, Who are you? I can park here if I want. I'm a member of this church, and the minister said we could use his spot if he wasn't here. with that, she walked off. Thinking about that interaction, he came to the conclusion that maybe the church membership role needed to have a new designation. In addition to active members and non-active members, maybe there needed to be a group called PPO, Parking Privileges Only. When Jesus said, "I am the true vine and you are the branches," he also said, "No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine." We remain in the vine and produce fruit when we desire a relationship with God that goes beyond being content with just having parking privileges. But this badge, this evidence that we wear that says this is who we are, this fruit that we produce that tells the world we truly are disciples of Christ, it is not the thing that saves us. It is not the thing that brings us into relationship with God. Rather, it is the thing that shows that we have been set free, shows that we are still connected to the life-giving vine. Botanically speaking, remember what fruit is. Fruit is an excess, an overflow of the life that the plant has taken into itself. Think about when it's a down year, when the sun is too hot and the rain is too scarce, and the plants don't have enough of what they need. They don't produce good fruit. Sometimes they don't produce fruit at all because they have to hold it all in for themselves. But when the temperatures are beautiful, when the sun is shining and the rain is falling, the plants just burst forth with life. So much life that it's not enough for them to have leaves and flowers. All that life comes spilling out of them as the fruit. The more life that a plant takes into itself, the more fruit that it can produce. When there's an abundance of sunshine, when there's adequate water and nutrient soil, those branches thrive and grow and produce and grow again. The plant and its branches don't have to force themselves to grow. They do not have to make a resolution to bring forth sweeter and more succulent fruit. They do not need to form a committee to remind themselves to be more abundant in their fruit production. They simply need to be in the right place, connected to the vine, that place that the gardener has placed them, where the conditions for growth and fruit are to be found. We are able to produce tremendous quantities of fruit. Conditions are perfect for our growth because God himself tends to us, ensures that those conditions are perfect. All we need to be fruitful is to remain a part of the vine and perform the simple tasks that the branch performs. There are only two things that a branch does. First, through its twigs and leaves, it receives energy from the sun to fuel its growth. It's truly a miracle that happens. The leaves open up and the sunshine hits them, and a chemical process called photosynthesis happens, converting that light into the energy that the plant needs to drive its system to produce its fruit. Second, the branch, through its connection to the stem of the plant, receives moisture and nutrients from the soil. It receives the life-giving sap that causes it to grow. It reminds all of us that we need, all of us, what we need to do to be pleasing to God. We too receive energy when we unfold ourselves before God, accept from him the light that he offers to us in his word, both the written word of Scripture and the living word of Christ. Many of you I know have houseplants. As I mentioned, I don't, because I kill them ruthlessly. But those of you that have plants know that when you have a plant near a window, that plant will slowly turn to face the light. So much so that every once in a while, what do you have to do? You have to reach over and turn it, right? Otherwise, your plant starts to lean a lot, right? And people think you dropped that pot or something, right? You have to keep turning it because that plant is so desperate for the sunlight that it is reaching, that it is stretching, that it is leaning toward that source of its energy, towards that source of its life. You also know what happens if you take that plant and you lock it in a cupboard for a day, just one day. The leaves begin to droop. The plant begins to sag. It begins to die because it can no longer find the sun. In the same way, we need to be exposed to the Word of God. We need daily contact with the light that it sheds. We need to hold God's teaching in our minds, in our hearts, on our spirits, that we might draw from them the strength and the energy we need. When we do that, when we lean out to receive God's word, when we absorb his words, then a miracle occurs in us as well. The branch also has to remain connected. The branch is in communion with the vine. Through that communion, it's able to produce fruit. That same truth applies to us. I don't know how many times all the light in the world, all the reading of God's word and meditation upon the gospel of Jesus will not avail us unless we are connected to that vine. I don't know how many times I've seen good people who can quote to me scripture and verse. They're a walking encyclopedia of scripture, but their lives are producing no fruit. And they can't understand why. They've memorized the Bible from in the beginning to amen. They've read every word. They've taken it to heart. Why aren't they producing fruit? I often think to myself, you're like a person who goes to the greatest restaurant in the world and you're eating the menu. We live in a world where we seem to be more connected than ever. We have the illusion of connectedness. Our technology has expanded our ability to reach out through social media. We are seemingly more connected than ever. My sister-in-law and her husband are looking for a house in Kansas City right now. And they live in St. Louis, and they both work full-time. So because the market is so volatile right now, Jan's house sold in one day. She had four offers. One day. Houses are literally going off the market in hours. And so whenever a house comes up that they think, oh, we'd like to see that, they can't get to us. So they call and they say, Mark, would you go look at this house with the real estate agent? And I go and I get out my little phone and I FaceTime them while I'm going through the house so they can see it. Because they might have to make an offer on it at that moment. So they need to see the house. Technology is amazing in the ways that it connects us. They are 4 hours away. They're on the other side of the state, and yet they're right there in the room with me so they can see that the toilet's at a funny angle and the kitchen cabinets all have a pitch to the front. I think the glasses are going to fall out and that type of stuff. It's amazing how our technology connects us. It really and truly is. It's connecting us in ways that seem right out of a science fiction novel. And yet, even as I marvel at how small we can make our world with technology, this technological boom is fueling a disconnectedness. Rather than real, strong, committed connections, we tend to retreat in our technology into a safe, secure, insulated bubble where we only see what we want, hear what we want, read what we want, watch what we want. This dangerously self-obsessive and self-focused, selfish bubble tends to disconnect us further from one another, further from God. Far too often we have used the opportunity of technological connectedness to disconnect ourselves, to put layers between us and others, to remove ourselves from actual interaction, from actual connection. And we are the worst for it. Because we need connection. We need to be connected to one another and to God. We need it because it is life-giving. It is life-sustaining. It is life-producing. We need to be connected. The connection established by God is maintained by us through faith and prayer, through trust and worship, through making ourselves available to God as a part of Christ's living body, the church. These things both keep us in the vine and feed us, that we might produce fruit. We remain part of the vine when we are willing to obey the commandments Jesus has given us, when we are willing to love each other and to love God, when we are willing to forgive each other and to trust that God forgives us, when we are willing to put God's kingdom first. We remain a part of the vine and produce fruit when we commune with God, when we are willing to pray to Him, to listen for His answers, when we are willing to worship Him, even if it's going to take us away from the Sunday buffet or the start of the Chiefs game, when we are willing to trust in Him, even when we think He's not doing enough in this world to stop hurt and pain and war. Communion with God and God's church is the connection to the vine which feeds us. Communion with God involves our heart and our will. The heart that loves all things that God has made and the will that gives Him praise for it. The heart that aches for the sin of this world and the will that tells the good news of Jesus Christ. The heart that believes that God alone makes the difference and the will that asks God to start by making a difference in me. When we have the heart and the will, God does the rest through us. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. If a person remains in me and I in them, they will bear much fruit. When we are open to God's word, connected to Christ, bearing fruit, we will change our world. Look at our first scripture story. Philip, one of the disciples who was connected directly to the vine of Jesus Christ. Philip, here's God saying, I need you to go over here. I'm going to plant you in this spot. And Philip goes over there, and this carriage is coming by, and in it is an Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch serves in the court of the queen of Ethiopia. And Philip just happens to notice that he's reading scripture. And Philip says, hey, you're reading scripture. And the Ethiopian says, yeah, I can't make heads or tails of it. Why don't you get in here and talk to me about it? So they ride in the carriage, and Philip tells him about the good news of Jesus Christ. And it changes the Ethiopian. He sees a body of water, and he says, what's to stop us from stopping right here so that you can baptize me? And Philip says, nothing. And they get out, and he's baptized. And you think, wow, because Philip listened to God, because he was in that place where God needed him, because he was connected to the vine that is Jesus, he made a difference in that man's life. He changed that man's life, but that's not all he did. When I went to Jerusalem a few years ago, one of the places we went to was the Holy Church of the Sepulchre. It is the church that is built on the site of where we believe the crucifixion takes place. It is a massive building, full of corridors and galleries and offices and hallways. It's huge. It's been built on and added on for 2,000 years. And there are 7 different churches that are housed in that building that have a stake in that place that is built on that holy site. Some of them are ones we know. The Catholic Church is there. The Orthodox Church is there. The Armenian Church is there. But there's also in one room, we were walking down this hallway. We came in a back entrance. We're walking down this hallway. And we turned into this room that was no bigger than our chapel downstairs. And our guide told us, this room, this is the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. Philip was in that place, and he touched that man's life with the good news of Jesus Christ. And that man, that Ethiopian eunuch, went back to the court of the queen of Ethiopia. And when years, decades, centuries later, when Europeans went to Africa taking Christianity with them, they found in Ethiopia a thriving Orthodox church. That church today has 45 million members. because Philip was attached to the vine, and the gardener said, I'm going to plant you in this spot. This is where I need you. All we have to do to remain a part of the vine and produce fruit pleasing to God and good for us and our world is open ourselves up to the light of God's word. Commune with God through his risen Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God has planted the vine called Christ in our midst, and when we are willing, he grafts us onto that vine and provides us with everything we need for growth. Everything we need to produce fruit. God gives to those who seek to be with him, and he gives only what is good and which helps us to be what he created us to be. A blessing to the world. Praise be to God this morning, our gardener and our King. Amen.
I'm going to change positions and come down.